It's not that every other marketing company out there knows more than you about legal marketing. But when you find the right company, they absolutely know more than you about legal marketing. Because number one, they definitely know more than you about marketing. Well, let's just be honest. You got to put our pride aside. But gosh, I sure hope that a marketing company would know more about a lawyer when it comes to marketing. Now, I've specifically said legal marketing because, yeah, you know what? I think it's really important as a lawyer that when you hire someone to do your marketing, you always try to find a firm or a company that focuses on lawyers.
Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Neil Tyree here with episode 18 of The Law Entrepreneur with my guest, Mark Cerniglia. Mark is the founding partner at Spotlight Branding. He is passionate, as you will hear, about helping professionals understand the truths and the myths about internet marketing and educating them on how to get the most out of their marketing efforts. Mark is a proud graduate of the University of Central Florida, those Fighting Golden Knights, and earned his master's degree in business and marketing while there. In spirit of full disclosure, I should tell you that I am a client of Spotlight Branding. You may remember me mentioning them in my roundup of the AVO conference back in episode 11 or 12. I met Mark there and was so impressed with the services that they were offering that I became a client of theirs. And I'm delighted with the services that they've provided me in helping me to refine and strengthen my internet presence. And you're going to hear all about how they do that and some really interesting takes that Mark has on where we place our emphasis when it comes to internet branding and marketing. So without further ado, let's listen to Mark Cerniglia. Hey there, Mark Cerniglia. Welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. Mark, as you've heard, is the CEO for Spotlight Branding. Mark, tell us a little bit about Spotlight Branding, how it came about to be, and how long you've been in the business.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so my business partner and I got to give him some love too, because, we're equal partners. We started Spotlight Branding just about 5 years ago. He had actually worked for a legal marketing firm. I had a marketing background as well. And to kind of make a long story short, we just felt like there was a better way to be serving lawyers. When it came to legal marketing, we feel like there's a lot of companies out there that either aren't selling a good product to lawyers or who might be selling a good product, but maybe not the right product that every lawyer needs. And I'm sure we'll get more into that as we talk here. But the bottom line is, we saw an opportunity to do things a little bit differently, to just create a better presence for lawyers on the internet than maybe some of the options that are out there for them. And like any entrepreneur, we seized the opportunity, we created a business, and so far it's working out.
Now, was your interest in the legal profession based on your partner's background, or was there something about the industry that inherently drew the two of you to that vertical?
It's a combination of both. I think obviously, the experience my partner had was really helpful. And so that was a natural starting point. But to be honest, Neil, it didn't take long for us to really kind of fall in love with the legal profession. And I know that might kind of sound pie in the sky and some of your listeners might laugh, but really, the DNA of our company, and when you really take a step back and look at it, lawyers are the movers and shakers in the world, right? I mean, you guys are ultimately the ones that are that are pursuing justice, that are making a difference in people's lives. And, you know, and on the outside world, lawyers kind of get a bad rap. But the truth is, most lawyers are doing really good things and good work. So while it was a natural fit for us, it didn't take long for us to also become inspired by what we're doing, because we're ultimately helping good lawyers continue to do good work.
Well, now that you've completely swollen the heads of everybody who's, you know, listens to this show, including mine, did you start with from the basis of a problem you were seeking to solve, or porting a skill set or a set of resources that you thought would serve attorneys in the first place?
Well, I mean, it was kind of a providence, if you will, you know, a couple perfect things coming together. I mean, my background is my marketing background is more in branding anyway, kind of more image-based stuff. By branding, I mean, you know, credibility, being seen as an expert, you know, that kind of thing. And my business partner, his background was content. And when it comes to the internet, you know, content is kind of the biggest thing that creates credibility and creates branding. And again, I'm sure we'll get into that more, but that made it really easy for us to be kind of focused on branding. And it just so happens that we felt like that was one of the biggest missing pieces when it came to the internet for lawyers. And just to explain real briefly what I mean by that is, you know, we felt like a lot of our competitors, if you even want to call them that, you know, who are building websites or who are doing social media or writing content for lawyers, their focus is SEO, search engine optimization. Their focus is build a website and we'll create some content for you and we'll try to make sure people can find you on Google. But, you know, the truth is that if every lawyer was trying to do that, then the majority aren't going to succeed, because there's only so many spaces on Google for you to show up on. And so the reason I explain that is because we felt like the opportunity there was, well, what else is the purpose of a website? Is the purpose of a website just for Google? You know, no, we feel like it's for branding. Is the purpose of blogs and social media just for what it does for search engines? No, we feel like it's for branding. We feel like websites, blogs, social media, that the benefit of those things is getting your name out there, building credibility, building awareness of your firm. And so we said, we're going to come in and we're going to do some of these services that other people also do, but we're going to do them in a different way. And we're going to do them with a different strategy in mind. And that's really more of the branding side. So it was a good coming together of our strength and background is branding, but we also felt like branding was one of the biggest things lacking for solo and small law firms.
So you said, Mark, that you've been in business now 5 years or so?
Exactly.
How are things going for Spotlight Branding?
Yeah, well, for us, we're good. We're happy. We've got offices in Florida and North Carolina, and we have clients all across the country. And, you know, so we're pretty happy.
And in terms of employees, are you a large company, small company? You kind of a network of individuals working together?
Yeah, no. So we do have a staff. There's about 7 of us total in-house. And then we have a team of people that are contractors and freelancers with us. And, you know, it'd be no different than a solo lawyer having a team and maybe using an outsourced paralegal or something like that until the workload is enough where they hire a full-time paralegal. So in some ways, actually, coincidentally enough, we kind of operate pretty similarly to how a solo law firm would, in terms of growth and when to hire and when to outsource and that kind of thing.
Well, that's exactly why I was asking, because it does sound like the model and the path that you followed in developing and growing Spotlight Branding as a company is the same kind of model, same kind of path that a solo firm would go through. And that stands to reason if you look at both of them on equal footing as a business.
Yeah, no, I think so. And, you know, I mean, you know, just being on this podcast with you is a great example. I mean, the reason I'm able to take time out and do this right now is because I'm not the person who's answering the day-to-day emails of clients and who's moving blogs and social media and other projects along, because we have a team in place that now has the relationship with our clients. And I think the reason I share that, Neil, is because, you know, I so often talk to lawyers who are still the ones that answer to their clients every day. And it's like, you're going to ultimately reach a point eventually where you have to have someone else in place, an associate, a senior associate, who is the person who works with your clients so that you can be working on higher level tasks. You know what I mean? So I think there's a lot of synergies, you know, for us as well as law firms.
Well, that leads us right into, you know, the next area that I wanted to to start and take a look at. Tell us a little bit then how Spotlight branding can help a solo or small firm law practice.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think to do that, Neil, if it's okay with you, I think it's more important than how Spotlight can help is to really, for me, to just maybe give some advice to your listeners about about what I think about the internet in general. And I guess the caveat to it is all the things I'm going to share are things we help clients do, or perhaps better said, that we do for clients, right? But so it's like this in a nutshell, okay? Spotlight branding really believes that what most lawyers lack is a strong internet foundation. And the reason we know that is because studies say that lawyers are only getting about 1/3 of the referrals they could be getting from people they already know. And the funny thing is, I feel like we could stop now and probably talk about this for the next hour, right?
Right, exactly.
But, you know, put another way, just to drive it home, this is an actual study. You know, you guys can Google it. Texas Tech did a study. And to give you the actual number, 83% of your clients are willing to refer to you. So for all the lawyers listening, 83% of your clients are willing to refer to you. Out of that 83%, only 29% are. If you're not a math wizard, that's about 1/3. So 1/3 of the people who know you, like you, trust you, and are willing to refer to you, only 1/3 of them are actually referring to you, you know, and the rest are willing to. And, you know, so we really feel like there's a big problem there that that most lawyers aren't even maximizing their very best source of business, which is referrals. Meanwhile, so many lawyers we talk to, at least at first, are like, well, I need more leads from Google, or I need better advertising. I need the phone to ring more. And the reason that the internet comes into play, the connection here is that, and this is kind of maybe the biggest, you know, takeaway I hope everyone gets from today, the internet and your internet marketing is about more than just Google. You know, your internet marketing can also help you stay connected with everyone you already know. Things as simple as an email newsletter can actually increase the amount of referrals you're getting from all the people you already know.
I think this is so important. I just want to stop and reiterate this, because, and not just attorneys, but that's who we're talking about and who we're talking to. I see it all the time. The view is when you talk about internet marketing, they say, well, I do Google, you know, or I have a, you know, I'm trying to exploit that, but it's just, I'm not getting my return. And they just don't think about all these other parts of the opportunity, the foundation, as you defined it, that go into building your brand and building awareness of your firm.
Yeah, you know, and the interesting thing, Neil, is that it's actually concepts that I think we all understand, but sometimes we forget to apply them to the internet. So here's just a couple of really quick examples. Number one, you know, we all kind of know that the more top of mind you are, the more likely someone is to remember you or to purchase your product or your service, right? You know, my simple example is Coca-Cola. Do you think that Coca-Cola spends millions on marketing because you don't know they exist? You know,
right.
You know, Coca-Cola is actually the most recognized brand in the world. They do it because they know that the more top of mind that Coca-Cola is, the more likely you are to grab a Coke off the shelf when you go to the grocery store next. And in the legal profession or any profession, it's no different. Next week, somebody might need help with what you do, and they might be talking to somebody that you know about the problem they have. And what's the difference between that person thinking of you versus not thinking of you?
Top of mind awareness.
Exactly. So this is a concept we all get. And another just real quick, simple one is business cards, right? Most of us, you know, I say that kind of with my fingers crossed because I love meeting the lawyer that doesn't have a business card when I meet him. But most of us, you know, most of us know the value of handing a business card to somebody, you know, and that's branding though, right? It's got my information. It's got my logo. You know, here's some information about me, you know, and we never, you know, Neil, you actually brought up return just a minute ago. Yeah. We never step back and go, you know what? What's the return on investment of my business card?
Right.
We don't ask ourselves that question because it's inherently understood that I'm a fool if I don't have my business card. We just kind of know that I'm missing out on making a connection with somebody or having somebody follow up with me. And so I think we need to look at certain aspects of internet marketing the same way. things like a website and even blogs and social media, those things are getting to the point where it's not about, oh, how many leads did my blog create for me? It's not necessarily like that. Sometimes blogs are just more about credibility and brand, and you just have to kind of inherently understand that people that go to your website are going to be more impressed if you have a blog than if you don't. And I'm not saying you never assess anything beyond that. It's just kind of, you know, some things aren't about the return. Some things are really more about the fact that it's just kind of obvious that you should have them because the value is obvious. And I think we know that, but we sometimes kind of fight ourselves in it. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. And sometimes we don't know what we know, because for a lot of people, they don't recognize that your business card is the very first opportunity for you to establish your brand with another person.
Exactly.
You know, when you hand your business card to somebody, they look at it, they instantly make an assessment based on the quality of that, you know, little piece of paper, the quality of the paper is printed on, the print, the logo, the image, you know, the information, the whole nine yards. And, you know, people don't think of that as a branding opportunity. And I think it's the same thing is true with some of the aspects of the Internet Foundation, as you have described it. They don't think of those as a branding opportunity when they should. And it's just for that reason, to get that top of mind awareness.
Absolutely. And I think the key is that, you know, sometimes you have to not overthink things. And let's be honest, lawyers are very analytical. And you know what? In your profession, that's what makes you good. But, you know, when it comes to other things, sometimes you have to take a step back and just be a little more practical. You know, I can't tell you sometimes how long it takes to convince a lawyer of the value of an email newsletter. They want to go on and on about, well, I feel like I'm being intrusive. I feel like I'm spamming people. And it's like, look, you lawyers for hundreds of years have known the value of having lunch with people, you know, of calling somebody you haven't spoken to in 6 months to get together with them. You just get that. Nobody argues that you should build your network and stay in touch with people. Well, guess what an email newsletter is? It's a tool to stay in touch with people, you know? And we can do a song and dance all day long about, well, are people going to be annoyed by it? And you know what? And I have answers to all that, but I'm not even going to get into it right now, because the bigger point is, you know, you need to stay in touch with people. Like, you already know that. And an email newsletter is a great way to do it. Like, don't overthink it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think, you know,
here's a disconnect that I think some people suffer from. Lawyers are frequently, not always, but frequently very interested in getting publicity. So if it's a big case that they've won, or social cause that they're involved in, or some kind of civil matter that they hope is picked up by the media, they know what the power of the media can do for building their business, i.e. their brand. But the newsletter is just that. It's getting that same information out about you to, actually, people are even more inclined to read about it and read about you than they are, you know, to pick up a newspaper.
Right, because they know you. It's coming to their inbox and they know you. They've met you at some point. That's why they're getting your newsletter.
Exactly. So let's talk about the Internet Foundation. You've kind of mentioned a little bit about newsletters and social media. Let's kind of dig into that a little bit. What kind of services do you think a solo would benefit from?
Absolutely. So we kind of say that there's six things that make up your foundation. You know, and if your listeners have a pen handy, they're going to want to write it down. But it's really simple. It's your website, it's blogs, videos, an email newsletter, and social media. Now, that's five. I'll get to the sixth here at the end, or we can come back to it. But more, everyone's heard of those five things. So let me more importantly say why we think those things are the five pieces of an internet foundation.
All right.
Because think about what people do on the internet. And this is just in general, what people do on the internet every day. They visit websites, so having a website's important. Studies say the average person reads at least one blog or watches at least one video every day. So have blogs and have videos, because those are the things people engage. Now, of course, later we can talk about, well, what do I blog about? Or what kind of videos do I do? And that conversation comes, but it starts with,
why have these things before we talk about how to do them, okay? Email newsletters. What do people do every single day, all day long? They have their email open.
Yeah.
Send them an email newsletter. And then finally is social media, right? Something like 2 billion people are on Facebook now. People are on social media every day. So websites, blogs, videos, email, social media, these are where all of us live every single day, is in those mediums. So we think that those are the boxes that every lawyer should check off in terms of having a presence. And that's why we think those things are the foundation. Because if you're not present in the places people go every single day, then you don't really have a good foundation in place. Does that make sense?
It does. And you're not going to be heard. I think the story I hear from most solos that I've spoken with, they've said, well, yeah, I know I need to do a newsletter, and I know I probably should be writing a blog on a more frequent basis. But, you know, in social media, I have a page. I don't update it very much. But who's got the time? If I spend all my time working on those foundational elements, when am I going to practice law, which is, you know, what I'm supposedly supposed to be doing? That's the argument I hear most often. I'm sure you hear it all as well.
Well, you know, let's have a little fun with this, Neil. I'm going to put you on the spot, okay?
Okay, because I sound like that argument very often.
All right, I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Okay.
And let's see how it goes. So, Neil, how do you have time to do your own bookkeeping?
I make the time by doing it outside of the hours that I participate being a lawyer in. So I'm a bookkeeper. I'm a part-time bookkeeper at the end of my 8-hour, you know, attorney day.
And how good of a bookkeeper do you think you are compared to people that's what they do for a profession?
I'm not as good as I could be. That's for certain.
Okay. Well, no. Okay, great. So those two answers are actually perfect, because I don't know if you caught it, but those exact two answers you gave apply to the marketing conversation we're having. So let me kind of translate, if that's okay.
Sure.
All right. If you want to do it yourself, no problem. You're going to have to do it outside of when you practice. Like, it's that simple. Yeah, you absolutely have to be a lawyer first, you know? So, I mean, if you want to be an entrepreneur and you want to build a law firm, I mean, you're probably listening to this podcast because you want to be a law entrepreneur. Well, guess what? When I started my business, I had to wear about 12 different hats. It's just part of the responsibility. And sometimes you're going to have to make time for things potentially after hours, right? So if you want to do it yourself, you make time. Let's be honest, it's that simple. Anything else is just an excuse. Like, you wouldn't make an excuse to not get your bookkeeping done. It has to get done, you know?
Right.
Flip side is, you're also really probably not the best bookkeeper for your firm, you know? And so, and you know, I joke a lot with lawyers about, you know, you got to hire a bookkeeper because, you know, you're probably the most expensive bookkeeper that you're ever going to pay. Like, you yourself are the most expensive bookkeeper you're ever going to have.
Well, yeah, we've had this discussion on a couple of other episodes. I mean, Pat Yevics, who was on a couple of weeks ago or a few weeks ago, she's with the Maryland State Bar Association, and she noted that the most important person to hire as a new solo is a good bookkeeper. You shouldn't do it yourself. And then on the flip side of that, my friend Mark Miranda at Smart Marketing down in Florida asked me a question one time, and said, what would you pay a bookkeeper? And I said, I really have no idea how much they cost. He said, well, do you think they cost $250 an hour? I said, no, not at all. Why? He said, well, because that's what you're paying your bookkeeper, meaning
exactly
paying myself.
And here's the amazing thing. Guess what? And not to focus on you, but like, let's just as an example, if you were spending that time instead working on your own marketing, even though, of course, I think it's better to hire somebody, well, you know what? Your marketing probably produces a better return than your bookkeeping does.
Right.
So if you hire someone else at less per hour than you'd be paying yourself to do your own bookkeeping, you're now either going to A, spend that time with your family, or B, you're going to spend that time working on things that produce a better return for the time you're putting into it. So, you know, yeah, side note, by the time we do another podcast together, I'll encourage you to have a bookkeeper, and I'll come back with you and mess with you on that.
I think it's true here. If you want to say, do you want to roll your own, a DIY marketing program, you could do that, but you're going to be paying yourself $250 an hour to write your own blogs or maintain your own social media platforms. And is that the best return of your time?
Exactly, which leads me to kind of the final side of it, which is, okay, just like you're probably not the best bookkeeper, you're also probably not the best marketing professional for your firm. And this is where things get a little interesting talking to lawyers, because part of it becomes, well, wait a second. How can somebody else write my blogs? How can somebody else put together my social media? And here's the thing. It's not that every other marketing company out there knows more than you about legal marketing. But when you find the right company, they absolutely know more than you about legal marketing. Because number one, they definitely know more than you about marketing. Well, let's just be honest. You got to put our pride aside. But gosh, I sure hope that a marketing company would know more about a lawyer when it comes to marketing. Now, I've specifically said legal marketing because, yeah, you know what? I think it's really important as a lawyer that when you hire someone to do your marketing, you always try to find a firm or a company that focuses on lawyers. Because yes, the legal industry is specific, you know? So just as an example, our team, you know, 90 something percent of our clients are lawyers because we are a legal marketing firm. So the majority of writing and research our team does is always for lawyers. Like that's what we, you know, eat and sleep and bleed is law content, you know? But we also know what's working on the internet. Let me give an example if you don't mind, because I think it's going to make more sense. Like blogging, okay?
Yep.
Could I or my team write an analysis of you know, you and me were just talking about the Supreme Court ruling that came down today, right?
Right.
With Iran, right?
Right. Seizing Iranian funds in this country to pay off a judgment for the deaths of the Marines in Beirut.
Okay. So I bet you there are lawyers already typing away at a blog right now, recapping what they think of that. Okay?
Yep.
Okay. So, but here's the thing. Number one, yeah, my team couldn't write that. Okay. That's legal analysis. But here's the funny thing. We also know, because we're marketers, that that's not what consumers want to read.
Exactly.
And so part of, you know, why you hire a company like ours or any other legal marketing firm is because we know what kind of blogs they do want to read. And fortunately, those are blogs that we want to write. So if you're an estate planning lawyer, it's 5 reasons you should have a will, you know, or, you know, my mom's getting old, you know, should we put a will in place or should we put an estate plan in place? Like it's the questions and day-to-day things that your clients face that you want to put into blog form. We kind of know because we're marketers that that's what your audience wants. We also know because we're marketers that that's the type of blogs that tell people that you're an expert at what you do. Those are the kind of blogs that position you as a credible expert. And those are the kind of blogs that a good legal marketing company can also do for you. So to bring all of that home, yes, you can do it yourself. You got to make time for it though, if you're going to do it. And quite frankly, if you find the right company, they're actually going to be better than you at doing it because they know marketing. And if they're a legal marketing firm, they know legal marketing. You know, so I think that's kind of the twofold answer. You can do it yourself, but if you're not going to, you got to find someone who would actually be better than you at doing it. And there are companies out there that are.
Yeah. And I think this is a perfect niche for your firm because, as you said, that's what you do. You research it, you write about it, you test it, and you rinse and repeat until it's what everybody needs.
Yeah, you know, one of the best pieces of advice I give your listeners is everything that any marketing company ever tells you, like as a service. So like someone's giving you a proposal and they say, we want to do these 6 things. Ask why for every single one. And the key question is not how, it's why. I'm not asking how you're going to do all these things. I'm asking why. What is the purpose of you blogging? What is the purpose of you doing all these things? Because then you're going to be able to take a step back and say, well, do I find value in what this person is telling me? You know, they're saying that the reason I should blog is because of X, Y, and Z. Well, do I agree with them? Do I identify with that? Does that sound like a strategy that my firm's going to benefit from? You know?
Yeah, at the end of the day, it has to mesh with your own personality and with your own way of doing business.
Absolutely. And another reason it's important is because you know what? Someone's answer might be, well, you should blog because Google likes when you blog. And it goes, okay, well,
That changes the whole conversation though, doesn't it? Because that company's goal for you is Google rankings. And so the why, if this makes sense, the why you do something is what leads to the return you're looking for, or the why is what leads to the goal you have. So if someone says they're going to blog for you for the sake of Google rankings, well, then that's how you're going to judge whether or not there was value in the blogging. And the reason I use that example is because more often than not, just blogging isn't going to have you shoot up the Google rankings.
Right.
You know, and the sad thing is some people then scratch blogging and say that it's a waste of time because I can't move up Google. But the flip side is, well, if that was the end goal you were looking for, then sure. But blogging serves a lot of other purposes. And if you want to blog for some of the other reasons that we think you should blog, you would want to hire a company who aligns with you in those reasons. So, you know, said another way, if you get proposals from two companies and both companies say blog, or both companies say website, or both companies say social media, the why question is really important because you want to hire the company who has the same why as you. Does right. that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. I mean, I know of a couple of attorneys that have blogged, and all of their blogging has been, as we were pointing out, more of the case analysis. They were analyzing recent changes in the law, or you know, proposed modifications to statutes, or the result of a specific case in their practice area. And they would blog and blog and blog, and they would see no change in the Google results. And they'd say to me, blogging doesn't really work. That's overhyped. And my answer would be, well, I think you're blogging, A, to the wrong audience, and B, with the wrong purpose in mind.
I have nothing more to add.
Yeah. So let's, as we kind of wrap up here, as we're approaching our time limit, let's take our listeners through. If I wanted to engage Spotlight Branding, how would that engagement look? What would happen from start to finish?
Sure. Well, I mean, obviously, you know, we've got kind of a presentation we go through. So the first thing we'd want to do is hop on the phone and kind of do a little presentation and more in depth explain what we do and of course why we do it. And that's really important because we don't just jump straight to, well, here's our pricing and here's our packages, because we want to make sure we're aligned. We want to make sure that our goals are your goals and that you're hiring us for the right reason. So after that happens, it's actually pretty simple process. You know, we have an onboarding process, kind of like an intake process where we get to know you, learn about your firm. That's what enables us to write for you or send out your newsletters. Or if we're creating your website, that's going to enable us to actually come up with a website strategy. You know, as a side note, you know, Neil, one of my favorite things is when website companies say to a lawyer, well, tell me what you want. What pages do you want? What graphics do you want?
Oh my God.
What do you know about website strategy?
Oh, jeez.
Like, that's why I hired you.
I've been through three of them. And
yeah.
So I've made that mistake three times. Pretty soon I'm going to learn.
Yeah. So we try to own that process. I mean, we certainly ask our clients what they like. Like, we want to appeal to your taste buds, so to speak. But I mean, you're hiring us because we're supposed to be the experts in these different areas. So we have an onboarding process. We get to know you. We create the strategy for these things. And, you know, once we get to the monthly stuff, because everything we do is recurring. I don't know if the audience picked up on that yet, but we talked a lot earlier about top of mind awareness. And we've talked a lot about newsletters, blogs, and social media. But the key to all of these is that they're ongoing. You know, you should have a blog or two at least that come out every month. You should have a newsletter that goes out every month. Social media should at least be a few times a week. You know, none of these things we talked about are one-time things. They're all ongoing. So when a client engages us, it's going to be an ongoing service. But the monthly part is really smooth because everything is on a schedule. You know,
is there a long-term commitment that they have to commit to?
Yeah, for us, we do work in annual terms.
Okay.
And we make it really easy because everything's got a schedule. So your blogs are always ready by this date. Your social media is always ready by this date. And we're doing it all for you. So you're just signing off on it
and you're adding to it if you feel the need to. But I want to make it real clear, if there's anyone that's listening and you're sitting here going, well, I don't want to do my own newsletter. I don't know what to post on Facebook and Twitter. I don't know what to do for all these things. Well, that's what we do. We create all of it from start to finish, and you certainly get to approve it, and you can certainly modify it till your heart's content. But you know, we kind of take care of it from A to Z.
And that scheduling is important too, because as we know, it's easy to be gung-ho for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and then you get off schedule and you've lost the advantage.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things prospects always ask us is, you know, well, what is part of the return? And I'm not shy about being, well, you know, part of the return is more referrals. You know, part of the return is more credibility. And, you know, a lot of that leads to the what I guess I would call the financial ROI, or the financial return on investment. But you know what part of the return is also, Neil, is just knowing it's going to get done. You know, I talked earlier about how...
Peace of mind.
Well, yeah. And I kind of talked earlier about how we all just kind of agree that business cards are valuable. Like, no one's really arguing that business cards are a waste. I mean, I'm sure there's exceptions. But anyway, for the sake of conversation, most of us agree. And our clients agree with us that things like an email newsletter are just obvious. They need to have those things. And so kind of checking off the box that it gets done every month and knowing that we're responsible for it. Like, in my company, there's no such thing as, oh, well, this client just never got back to us. Well, how many times did we call them? How many times did we email them? It's our job to make sure that these boxes get checked off and these things get done. So part of the return is just knowing it's going to get done and somebody else taking responsibility for it.
That's fabulous. Mark, I probably could, you know, sit here and talk with you for another 2 hours, but I want to be respectful of our listeners' time. Tell our audience how they can get a hold of you and Spotlight Branding if they want to follow up on this conversation.
Yeah, no, thank you for asking. So our website's pretty easy, spotlightbranding.com. A matter of fact, if you go to our homepage, it's kind of laid out with pretty much what we talked about today. You know, what the Internet Foundation is, what some of the benefits of it are. And I would actually encourage your audience to go there, even if they're not thinking about our services, because I think that even just skimming our website, you might get a lot of ideas for yourself. And I think that'd be valuable. If anybody wants to talk to us, there's actually a button right on our website to schedule a call. You can also fill out the contact form on our website. If anybody wants to jot down our phone number, it's 305-433-4600. But I want to do one other thing, Neil. Give out my personal email address, because...
Oh, that's very kind of you. You know, I hope you're happy about doing that.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because, you know, like, if somebody calls right now, if any listeners call right now and want to talk about our services, you're not going to talk to me. And that's because I've got people in place who their job is to talk with you about our services. And quite frankly, at this point, they're better than me at doing it.
Right.
That's one of the things you do, right? You try to hire people better than you at certain tasks. So I've hired people that are better at pitching our services and helping you figure out if we're a good fit for you. I've got people in place for that. But what that's freed me up to do, Neil, is have conversations like the one I am with you today. So what I also want to do is, if any of your audience just wants to email me and pick my brain, I'm happy to do that. If you want to talk to us about our services, get in touch with our sales team. That's what they're there for. But if anybody wants to reach out to me and just has any questions in general, wants some advice, that's what I like doing, because we are passionate about making sure lawyers aren't buying into a lot of the BS that's out there on internet marketing. So maybe you can throw it in the show notes, but just in case, my personal email is Mark, and that's Mark with a C. So that's M-A-R-C at spotlightbranding.com. And if anyone wants to shoot me a personal email, just let me know who you are, that you are listening to this podcast, you know, so that I don't think you're spamming me or something like that. Exactly.
All right, Mark. Well, thank you ever so much for being a part of the conversation today. I do appreciate it. I love what you're doing. I think it's, not to make a bad pun, but I think it's spot on for what attorneys need. And I'm really excited to move forward with you in the future.
You know, the pleasure is all mine, Neil. Thank you for having me, and I hope your listeners benefit from it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Mark. Well, there you have it, fellow law entrepreneurs. Thank you for listening and being a part of today's program. The utmost compliment you could pay me is to go over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, and leave a strong 5-star review if you think the podcast and what we're trying to do here is worthwhile. Feel free to share the link to the podcast with your friends, family, and coworkers. I would be very appreciative if you did. So until next time, thanks again for listening to The Law Entrepreneur.